It's Friday, December 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, folks, it's December 7th here in Hawaii, a day that will live in infamy. December 7th, 1941 was the date that Pearl Harbor was attacked. And we'll talk about that for a second later on the show, but I got a lot of tech stuff to talk to you about tonight. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the studios here on the leeward side of Oahu, overlooking Honolulu and Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. How are all you doing? Welcome to the show. Got a great lineup of tech stuff tonight, and it is late here. It really, really is. My kids drug me in to watch this the show that they've been watching called Kid Nation. I had to ask, he said, "Dad, you got to see this." So I spent some time with them, and we finished getting the Christmas decorations up. So we flipped on the lights, and we are in the Christmas spirit. And the entire house is crashed, except for my 3-year-old. It's much darker here in the new place. There's not as many street lights. So really the house, when the lights get off in the house, it gets much darker. So I had went through and, shut most of the lights off. My wife had crashed on the couch. But my little one, he came in and said, Dad, I'm scared. He knows 3. And I said, oh, okay. So I turned on some lights for him and sat with him for a little bit. So it's 9:30 here in the evening. And, just getting started. Did do the research for the show early, so we've got plenty of great content for you. Hope you're all doing good, and if you're checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for joining the Ohana here, joining the family. And, of course, check out all the great content over at geeknewscentral.com. You can, of course, find the archive podcast via the podcast link. You can sign up for the newsletter via the newsletter link on the website. I want to ask, is everyone getting the newsletter? Because I'm finally back on the original box that the newsletter was coming from. And I just want, and did anybody get duplicates? It appeared that the server may have sent duplicates out last time. Love to hear if you, tonight, as the batch goes out tonight, like to hear if you get it. If you don't, let me know for sure. I'm trying to work, I think they had a few bugs, and one of them was my own fault. And hopefully the customer service people at GoDaddy will have my relay set up high enough. They put a limit. We put this, when Geek News Central was moved onto the new box here last month, I forgot to ask for the relay increase that was needed. So what they do is they only give you so many a day, and I hit that limit almost immediately at midnight. So really what ended up happening was maybe some of you got the show notes a day later. So I've been running that through the process today to get that increase. I'm running into, as a matter of fact, I pulled my ACE card and sent an email off to a person there I have at GoDaddy that's been kind of the person I talk to time when I'm feeling that the customers are not being taken care of the way they should. I'm saying, hey, you got an issue with the way this process is working. So we'll see how he replies in the morning on that. But anyway, we got a lot of good stuff. Yes, today is December 7th. And at least for you that have downloaded the show, lots of activities here in Honolulu. They'll be honoring some of the World War II veterans, the Pearl Harbor survivors. I'll be leaving very early in the morning to get down, and I'm going to drop the kids off at school. Then I'm going to go right on to Pearl Harbor. They'll have the Fort Island Bridge is going to open up, and then they'll have a ship that'll do a pass and review in front of the Arizona Memorial. The Arizona Memorial that morning will have people, volunteers will be out there, be raising and lowering flags for a number of hours before the tourists are allowed onto the memorial. And they'll have some dedications and some things going on there as they do every year. But for the first time in years, 2 days ago, so you're not what today's for you, it's Friday, so Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, about 3 o'clock, and we'd had some storms here. And it's some of the same type of systems that's been hitting the part of the same system that's affected Washington State, Oregon. And I'm sure we've got some listeners up there that have been affected. And my heart goes out to all of you that have sustained damage and flooding or, you know, had any type of disruption to your life. And what we had, you know, nothing compared to that. But it had been raining quite a bit in the past week. And then we were told this big one's coming. And I stayed up to about midnight and just was zonked and laid down on the couch expecting to be woken about 3 o'clock in the morning. And sure enough, this thing came through and didn't knock our lights out, but we had a lot of people on the leeward side of the island that lost their lights and trees and power lines down and sustained winds, I think around 70 miles an hour, which really isn't too bad, but the wind was coming from kind of a different direction that they haven't seen in like since the 70s or something. But boy, did it rain. Oh my goodness. I was impressed. So I'm running a little even behind on sleep, but they got things. The memorial was shut down Wednesday all day because of the cleanup and power issues. So I got to deal with my kids' school was still open. A lot of schools were closed, and we're commuting the kids to the old school. And I had to deal with the traffic on Wednesday morning. And I don't know what it is about Hawaii drivers, but that's really all I can say. And keep the show G. Oh my goodness, it's been a bit of a challenge for me, and we're living in a different area, and the commute is quite different, and I don't see how some people do it. I told my wife, well, let's get 2 or 3 years of equity in this house, and then let's, we'll probably be ready to move closer to town. Only time will tell, we'll see. But anyway, moving on here, next week, talked with Angelo, and he's my lead developer. He is the chief information officer over at Raw Voice. He is going to get us set up, and we're going to be delivering the Geek News Central podcast via our new CDN. So if you've been experiencing some slower downloads, because we've been doing some testing, and my show's kind of a guinea pig because it's a good loading show for us to test everything. We've delivered, all the content's being delivered, and it might not be coming as fast. It's, and basically what we're testing right now is a backup system. But next week we're going to be going on this full-blown CDN, and any of you that have been downloading the shows or even watch it download, which I hope none of you are doing, this thing should be explosive. It should just come as fast as your internet connection will allow it to download. So keep an eye on it next week. We'll be doing that. So don't worry. The show will be delivered. We're watching it real close. But you should have some good download performance next week. Do want to remind you of our roundtable this coming Saturday. We're going to be having our Christmas review. Going to be meeting with the guys tomorrow and going to be talking to them about your time on Friday. We're going to be talking to them about their subject matter and getting the sequencing down. And, of course, that's hosted by our sponsor, GoToMeeting, over there. We're going to be using GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will really, if you attend the meeting, you're going to see how it will revolutionize how you can communicate with business associates, family, and friends with the ability to host online meetings anytime, anywhere. It's to save you the ability of not having to get in your car or get on an airplane and go somewhere, because you can have a meeting and it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you meet as often as you want for as long as you need. And you too can try it for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Now, I've had a little bit of a change. I booked my flight and hotel reservation to the Consumer Electronics Show, and oh my goodness, that hurt the old expense account considerably. Hotel room was really cheaper this year. It was $1,800 for the 7 days, and airfare was $900. And normally I can get airfare out of Hawaii for round trip to Vegas for $400, but not that particular time frame. So it left me a little bit gasping for air. I should have booked the airline tickets sooner, but. One thing I'm looking for, and we're trying to, I may pull, we've talked over the team at Raw Voice, and I may have one of the guys from Raw Voice come assist, but I'm really, at this point, kind of looking for someone that may be interested to coming out to Vegas, or someone that lives in Vegas that wants to attend the Consumer Electronics Show and essentially be my cameraman for the week. Actually, it would only probably be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you've ever wanted to attend the Consumer Electronics Show, drop me a line. We'll see what we can do. We are still working the sponsor issue, but Andy and I, Andy McCaskey and I from Slashdot Review, have kind of talked, and we're going to try to work in the expenses on that. So if anybody's interested, drop me a line. Let me know where you are, what your availability is. And then I'll kind of give you the rundown of how we're gonna work this, and it would be funded at this point between Andy and I, and unless the sponsorships come through, then it's a no brainer. But we're trying to keep our expenses down as much as possible for this event. We are going one way or the other. If I have to lug the camera myself, I'll be there. That's for sure. But if anybody's interested, drop me a line. And I know it's a little bit of a stretch coming out to Vegas during that time period. And what I plan on doing is taking care of airfare, food, lodging we'll talk about. And but anyway, if you're interested, just drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I do want to thank all of you. The reporting came in for last month's from GoDaddy. And boy, thanks. Thanks for all your support. Really, I do appreciate it. It really makes what we do here possible. Your continued support of GoDaddy is definitely appreciated. Even though I had a little issue this past, past 24 hours, it's something that they will resolve. It's one of those types of things where I'm saying, hey, something's not quite clicking right. And that's one of the beauties. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but early on, before GoDaddy was a sponsor here, I had bought a virtual dedicated server with them. And I really had some issues, and I complained very, very loudly on my blog, and I got a response from one of their corporate leaders, and he says, what's going on? And basically, him and I had a heart-to-heart conversation over the telephone, and they made dramatic changes to their tech support system based upon my and his conversation, or his and I conversation. And that really impressed me. It really sold me that they really cared on their customer support side. So whenever I run into an issue, I fire something off to the ace in the hole I've got over there. And I get stuff from people from time to time, too, where they have maybe not had the best experience. And they fix it. They really do. They fix it and make sure that it gets right. And that's what I respect about a company. Not every company's perfect, but when they have problems, they... they step up and take charge. And that's one of the reasons why I continue to be a big supporter of their products. I really, really do. And why I encourage you to check out their domain names, their virtual dedicated servers, their dedicated boxes. You can get over there and you can pick up, products at a very reasonable rate. They are very highly competitive in the industry. So if you're looking for a hosting account, definitely check that out. And when you get to the checkout counter, use the enter the promo code TODD, and that will save you an additional 10% on your order. You can get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions do apply. See site for details. Geek 5 is another one, 15% off your order of $20 or more. Check the front of the website. That'll give you the link to some of the other codes we've got. And if you've ever run into an issue, drop me a line. I definitely want to hear about it. And we'll fire it up the food chain over there, no matter how trivial. Really, it's important, and I want to make sure that you're all happy as well with any of the products that you buy through my recommendation. Let's see here. What was I going to say here? you know, I don't know if you get, if I've mentioned this before, but we're up to 8 servers with them, and I pay for every one of them. Those are boxes that I don't get. I use my own promo codes to save money, but we pay for those bad boys and don't get any special treatment with them. So that just gives you kind of a clue on how much I stand behind the product. Okay, enough on that, and I've talked about that before, so I'll just shut up and I'll keep on moving here. I think that's all I've got in my list. Yep, let's go ahead and get into the content. If you'll notice on the Geek News Central, I wrote a post, and what I had done is when I on the last show, I had prompted all of you to give me some feedback, specifically on advertising. I got a lot of good feedback, and some of that went into the post I put on there that talks about podcast advertising and return on investment. I also got a lot of great emails from those of you that listen to the show. Obviously, if you don't listen to the show, you're not going to send comments in, right? That was kind of dumb. But anyway, the main thing I want to do is I'm not going to read primarily all those emails tonight for sure, but I do want to thank all of you that took the time to respond and give me some insight into where you thought the fit was. And I definitely appreciate it. And thank you all for being a very highly engaged audience. And good stuff on Geek News Central here. And Matthew is doing some great stuff. He followed up on a topic that I talked about in show number 321 about podcast audience stagnation. And that was kind of motivated from the keynote Leo Laporte did at Blog World Expo. So good context there from Matthew, but he did some good research there. And if you definitely want to check that out, I think it's a good read. And only we're going to be the only ones that are going to continue to grow the podcasting space. Okay, let me load FeedDemon here. I've got a stack. I mean, a real stack of stuff. First thing up is Ace Adulzer. Man, he takes a shot. You know, he works with the Mozilla Foundation, working with Firefox. And he takes a shot at Microsoft and Internet Explorer 8. I think they're actually supposed to call it IE Next. But there was I guess Bill Gates let the cat out of the bag or something about IE 8, which prompted the team over on at Microsoft to actually post something to the IE blog, which they hadn't done in a while. But apparently they've been working pretty hard on IE8. He thinks they have been for a year and a half, but the question he keeps asking them, and where he really goes after him, is saying, you know, you've been working on this product for a year and a half, but how come you haven't been reaching out to the community? He says, it's not the lack of action that people are concerned about, it's the lack of communication. He goes on to say, what's your silence for the last 18 months of IE8 development? It tells web developers of a world that you don't give a blank what they got to say about it. And if that's the way Microsoft is going to continue doing business, then so be it. But don't pretend that it's something it isn't. Basically, what this boils down to is the IE guy said, hey, don't mistake silence for an action. And Asa goes on to basically say, don't treat the people out there like children. And it is pretty interesting here that a picture that he assigned with this post, I think you'll get he was very clever in how he put that up. I think you'll get a chuckle out of it, the irony. But it is true here, you know. Why is the IE folks been so silent while other parts of their community have started to open up? It's just, you know, they have definitely got to step it up a little bit. The world has changed, and these corporations have to, have to learn that things are changing. They need to change with it a little bit. Okay, over on the Herald at theherald.co.uk, there's a discussion about a lie detector test that could decide if you're getting on a plane or not. And what this is they're looking at implementing a MRI type of device in airports, and also something that the FBI is starting to really push for. because the MRI is actually, they're calling it a brain box, in that they're able to tell with an accuracy of 90 to 100% whether or not someone is lying based upon a region of the brain, I guess, that lights up when someone is telling a lie, or it's, you know, being composed, or however it works. And but it this is supposed to be like the new type of polygraph, and it's pretty instantaneous. So can you imagine walking up to the check-in counter and being asked to remove all metal objects from your pockets, and you step into the little cubicle, and the check-in lady says, have you been, you know, have you had your luggage with you the whole time? And probably what would happen, most of us would, if we said, oh yes, I've had my luggage, and we know very well that it's set outside the house the, you know, hour and a half before we load it into the car, or you know, whatever it may be. And all the other questions they ask you, I wonder how many people would get turned away from an airplane. Definitely something that husbands would not want to have at the front door when they'd been out drinking with the boys, when the wife would confront you at the door saying, where have you been? Oh, gosh. So pretty interesting article. And again, it's over at theherald.co.uk. All right, there is a very interesting bill that the House voted on that they kind of snuck through, and it's an overwhelmingly approved a bill saying that anyone, and get this, anyone offering an open Wi-Fi connection to the public must report illegal images, including obscene cartoons and drawings, or face fines up to $300,000. Now, here's a question. You're an average Joe. You got your Wi-Fi opened up. Car pulls up across the street, uses your Wi-Fi for a little bit, drives off. What tools do we have now to tell what that person did? We don't, right? So imagine you're a small business owner and you're offering Wi-Fi up. Now you're going to have to start tracking and reviewing all of the content that's being accessed through your internet connection, through your Wi-Fi internet connection. It's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Now, granted, I am just as much opposed to anyone else to some of these disgusting individuals out there who's downloading materials that exploit or prey upon or have an effect on individuals under the age of 18. And I, there's a whole cadre of, you know, cross subjects there as well. So, you know, these predators are out there. The different offenders that are people that are on offender list, you name it. You know, I'm all about catching these people and getting them off the street. But at the same point, what type of cost is this going to require, and what type of manpower is this going to require to monitor Wi-Fi? I'm sure there'll be a whole cottage industry that's going to launch that'll do nothing but monitor and look at packets and everything else. That's pretty scary, really. And I could see that if a lot of people will become scared and probably will just lock down their Wi-Fi connection, which is, you know, probably advisable anyway, because you're not making yourself so available to have your network hacked from the outside. But this thing passed with flying colors, 409-2. There were only two people that did not vote for it, and they were both Republicans, Ron Paul, the guy that's running for president, and Representative Paul Braun from Georgia. And I don't know what his story was, but anyway, this is what's coming down the pipe here. We'll see what happens if the Senate gets involved and has, you know, if they get this thing up for a signature. It definitely can... it's going to cause some pain for ISPs and everyone else that has any type of Wi-Fi. Found some cool stuff for you tonight about some stuff that you can check out, some cool links. So look at the bottom of the webpage for that. I'll have those online. And, of course, tonight as we're going through the commentary, if you have any comments or questions or feedback, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. For those of you that are Facebook users, big change to Facebook, and it was readily apparent to me immediately today that it happened, because one of you had sent me a message and via Facebook. And when it came into my email account, I was actually able to read what you had written. And I was like, oh my goodness, thank goodness Facebook has done that. Big impact there. So now they're forwarding the context of the message, so you don't have to log in to Facebook to see who sent you a, you know, what comment they sent you. Because sometimes I get those and I don't log in for 3 or 4 days, and then I log in and like, oh my goodness, that was important. I needed to read it. Please, you know, geeknews@gmail.com is the best way to always get through to me. And if it's show related, I usually cover it in the listener comments segment of the show at the end. But that's it. Okay, couple of good articles about water usage. And if you live in the Atlanta area, love to hear what's going on out there. If it's true, you know, I know Atlanta's in a dire consequence for water right now, but this article is saying that at this time, Atlanta's got about 80 days left of water supply, and that's pretty scary. Now we're moving into the winter months, so you would hope that they would get some rain to alleviate that, but there's dire consequences headed for, you know, that region. There's also a good article about this and how much water we're using now and how aquifers are being affected throughout the world. So this is a pretty good read out there. And but compared to the rain we just got here in Hawaii, I tell you, if I could have captured all the water runoff that was happening off my roof, I probably could have watered my lawn for a year. With all that water. I mean, it poured. I think we got like 6 inches. It was crazy. It really, really was. But a good article over at a Blogspot blog. I have that linked up in the show notes. All right. In Alberta, Canada, some physicists over there are taking a big step forward in understanding a possible new state of matter. Now, for those of you that are science buffs, this is really interesting what they have done. They have found, and I guess there's been some prior results done when they super cool hydrogen and then apply pressure to it. There's, you know, the form of the matter changes, but they have been able to see some new phenomenon going on, which they are thinking is an original discovery of a new state of matter that can be applied. Pretty heavy stuff, but it's a very impressive read here. And of course it is under some extreme conditions, some very cold temperatures, very high pressures, in order to make this happen. I don't know what the entire science and or what the real world implications of these findings are, but it's got the science community pretty excited, and they're going to be publishing the results of their, actually they did today. They released the, results of this testing in the science journal Nature. So that's available online. I'll have to check that out if I can get the online version of that. But a link to this will be up in the show notes. Okay, how many of you have been at a Best Buy or a CompUSA or wherever you're doing your major shopping for your major appliances or electronics and have been asked whether or not you want an extended warranty? And how many of you have actually purchased an extended warranty? And I think in some instances that extended warranties are good. And I'll give an example. The big screen TV I had, I bought a 3-year extended warranty on it, and it's already paid for itself. And I think the majority of us, though, are pretty skeptical, and especially dependent upon the type of device you have, on whether or not you're going to buy an extended warranty. If it's a you know, if it's an iPod, I'm not going to do that. Or if it's a digital camera, maybe, you know, depending on the size. So I think it's dependent. But there's a good poll being taken by Engadget. I'll link you over there. I actually haven't submitted the poll yet, so I won't get the bias, because they give you the results. I don't want to give a biased result here in the show, but go over there and take that and see what other people think about extended warranties, or if it's just, you know, a shakedown to get more money out of your pocket. So let me know how you fared on that and whether or not you matched up with the majority of other people that are voting. Okay, Engadget's talking how Microsoft is going to be testing Windows XP on the one laptop per child which is kind of interesting. They want to get XP on this OLPC, so they're going to be doing some testing. That reminds me, we are really close, and I know we've gotten a few more donations in. I actually need to go up and do a tally. I've been slammed the first 3 days of this week. I was primarily working on, believe it or not, advertising deals. And surprise, surprise, and getting podcasters started on that. I'm actually going to be finishing up that tomorrow from a plus up buy we had. But the so we're real close, and we've got until the end of the month to really make the goal on the third machine, which means the third machine will be delivered later. The first two were ordered, you know, almost, I think, the first or second day of the program. So we should be pretty early on the production line to get those. But we're still working towards getting the third one. And, of course, we're going to be giving those three away. I'm just wondering, though, what do you guys think? When I get the third machine, should I do some sort of a review of the product before I send it off, or should I leave it packaged up? I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to fire one of these up, but I really don't want to spoil, you know, a new box experience for one of you. I'll kind of let you guys vote on it. Should I open this bad boy up, fire it up, and see how it works, and kind of do some reviews when we get one? What do you guys think? Should I do that? I'll let you guys kind of straw poll me here via email, and see where the biases lay on that, on whether or not I should do a review. And it should be fun anyway. Okay, moving on here. You know, the Chinese, they released their first image of the moon, right? Well, boy, oh boy, people, the conspiracy buffs went right to work, and they think that the photo is not a real photo. Some people are saying, yes, it's real, but there's some others saying no, based upon, you know, doing a pixel-by-pixel comparison of some pictures that were taken by the Pentagon in 1994, and the pictures that the China's Chang'e-1 did last week, and essentially from almost the same location. That's an interesting coincidence, I guess. But some differences in the actual look of one of the craters, and they're attributing that maybe the angle, but someone thinks it's a doctored photo, and that the Chinese really weren't able to get a picture. So I don't know. I'll let you guys be the guest of this, and I'm sure this will be one of those legends that will live on for a long, long, long time. I found a picture, actually a couple examples of a picture, not examples, but a couple of actual pictures from a Nikon D3. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful image. You know, I don't know if it's worth the $5,000 for one of these. But when you see the pictures that this camera took, and I'm sure it's by a professional, you know, they're teasing us with these, and it's I don't know if it's a cathedral or whatever it is in Florence, Italy. Absolutely unbelievable. It's just like I think the picture looks better than what you could actually see looking at it yourself. Simply amazing. It really, really is. There's a couple of pictures here. Wow. I'm pretty amazed. I really am. So, you know, is anyone going to buy one of these? Anybody going to buy a D3 for $5,000? That's way, way out of my budget, but the picture is just absolutely stunning. It really is. And I'm not one to really get wowed about pictures, but when you guys see this, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, those of you that are using the iPhone, there's some pretty cool third-party iPhone SMS and MMS apps that are filling some functionality holes. I'll have a link up to these in the show notes. It's basically the ability to send messages to multiple people, a single message to multiple people, sending files, you name it. They've really made some cool applications. And what I love about this screenshot that's on this page is, yes, the carrier that this particular phone is running on is T-Mobile. So what a way to stick it to Apple, really. Oh, it continues. All right, there is a very, those of you who have websites, How many of you are going to your web stats on a daily basis, checking 3 or 4 times a day? How many of you are addicted to doing that? I know I kind of am. I kind of go, and I probably look 3 or 4 times a day. I don't know why. I think it's just a force of habit. But if you're tired, you know, if your site's not getting a lot of traffic, one thing you may want to buy is this real interesting product that's out there. It's a USB connected device. You put an applet on your website. And anytime someone loads your web page, it rings a little bell. And this is like one of those little bells that the Salvation Army guys have. It's rigged up so it shakes it like that. So you'll know every time someone visits your website. They did a video example of, I think this thing, if I had it plugged in and had it running on my website, would probably last about 3 minutes, and then it would be yanked out of the USB port and dropped in a trash can. I don't know who thought this up, someone with absolutely too much time on their hands, but I'll let you check the YouTube video out. It's pretty funny. Right, very good article, and let's see if it's going to load here. Yes, over on GigaOhm. And I think this really hits home. There's a controversy that's been going on for a few days now. Last week, a 10-year-plus editor by the name of Jeff Gersterman was fired under mysterious circumstances. And he wrote for the website GameSpot. Now, those of you that are gamers, you probably go to different gaming websites to get reviews. And there's some controversy in that he had written a review on a new game that was less than glamorous, and the editorial staff over there wanted to kind of change the review up to make it not as negative. That's the rumor. So what this tells me is that any site that does gaming reviews, that has any type of gaming advertising on their websites, are more than likely highly compromised, or the articles are suspect at best. Now, with these games, these big, high, multi-action power games, shoot 'em up games type of things, they can cost multiple millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars to develop, and they are really expensive at retail. They could cost anywhere from $50 to $70. They rely on these gaming sites, these gaming review sites, to really push the games, to get the people out there to buy them. And because this guy was a very prominent figure, even though he had some detractors and people were, you know, had complained about him before, you know, gamers are really suspect. And so at this point, and because of this controversy, in other words, they were going to change, supposedly, allegedly, they're going to change an article to make it more favorable for that particular game because they were an advertiser on the website. So what this does is this raises doubts now by the word of any reviewer on, again, on a site heavy with the publisher's ads. So this is going to kill them. This is really going to kill those particular sites. So how do you stay independent and yet make money? You know, who's coming to those websites? Heavy gamers, right? So they're really, I think they're in trouble. And the simple fact that this guy was fired from CNET's GameSpot really makes many of these mainstream review sites highly, highly susceptible. You know, there needs to be a separation of church and state. There needs to be these big media houses, they need to have their publishers on one side that they write what they want to write, and they need to have the advertisers on the advertise sellers on the other, and they don't cross paths and don't interact when they're, you know, when there's a review process going on, so that this type of stuff can't happen. So very interesting in the gaming world. I don't game, so it really doesn't affect me, but if you're a gamer out there, I'm sure it does. Okay, moving on here. Couple articles from Phil Winley's website. He's talking about how Technorati has once again changed. They are now focusing heavily on bloggers again. They're kind of going back to their roots. But at the same point, there is concern about the type of advertising on the website and who's managing that. And it, he thinks that Technorati is in big trouble so far as the people using it just because of the type of ads they've resorted to. It looks like they're kind of getting a little bit desperate. Along with his article on Technorati, he's got a great link to a Understanding OpenID. And we've been working on getting OpenID integrated into Blueberry. It's on our list, so we really haven't been working on it. It's on our to-do list. But if you're not fully up to speed on what OpenID is, this guy has found a great video that really explains how OpenID works. And it's one of those whiteboard cartoon, very clever. And I think that you'll have a full grasp on OpenID by reviewing this. Robert Scholl was reporting today, and this is something I had not known, but I think is really, really cool. Those of you that use Google Reader, it's got a new function. Now, when I go into Google Reader and I'm going through and I'm sharing articles, I have an RSS feed that's created from that. Well, I subscribe to a number of people's shared subscription list. And what this new feature does is it actually won't send you duplicate items anymore. So if you've got 4 or 5 sites that you're following, it'll essentially not give you the dupes. So that happens a lot. It drives me crazy. I have to see, I have to scroll through, 20 articles of the same thing because of the way the things, it's combined. And they've eliminated that. So that should make it, should make Google Reader really get some more value. All right, Kindle. The Kindle from Amazon. Be forewarned, if you live in Montana, do not buy Kindle. If you live in Wyoming or Alaska, be forewarned, you may have trouble if you buy a Kindle from Amazon. Because the Kindle was working within the Sprint network. It's got a cellular connection to the Sprint network, and if you're not in a Sprint service area, or if you don't even know if you're in a Sprint service area, you need to check that out before you order one of these. Because if you don't, the device is just worthless. And there's some people complaining about it here, and the device is useless without the service component. So be forewarned of that. And I was almost going to buy a Kindle. I'm glad I didn't. Highly overrated. All right, over on CNBC.com, and I don't get a lot of news from them, but they're reporting that some Apple future headlines could mean some new products coming, including a super laptop. Now, everyone's thinking it's going to be an ultra small, but that's not quite what CNBC is saying. They're saying that reliable sources within China are telling them that not only is there a new laptop of sorts coming, but the iPod Touch and iPhone are really going to be ramped up in a big, big way, availability of that. And they do go into the ultra-portable laptop as well a little bit in this particular article, but they fully suspect that that stuff's all going to be announced at Macworld. Macworld, it goes down the week after the Consumer Electronics Show. I was actually asked by the CEO of Podango to come out and be on a podcasting panel that's going on at Macworld, but I am not going to be in any shape whatsoever after CES to go to another show. So I had to send a regret, and we're going to pass on that. Okay, over on Tech Dirt, AT&T does nothing, but it convinced some reporter, some dupe, it now has opened its network, and this is so funny. They got a lot of press today in a big major magazine or a news service, and basically AT&T duped this guy into saying, hey, we've opened up our network. You can use AT&T with any phone now. Well, guess what? If you get an unlocked phone and you got an AT&T SIM card, you can stick it in the unlocked phone, and as long as it's GSM, you turn it on, you're good to go. So nothing new, but they tried to make some news out of no news, and they got this guy hook, line, and sinkered into the story, thought he had a big scoop, end up with a big scoop of something else, but AT&T has done nothing to open its network, and this is kind of falls along with what some of the stuff Verizon is doing. And, you know, don't be fooled by some of the pranks and some of the media stuff that they're doing, for sure. All right, Smug Mug automatically scales photos and video, supports high-definition video. This is a commercial service. Very, very cool. I am going to be definitely signing up for this tomorrow. You can upload high-def into their system, and it will reproduce it in multiple formats. It makes it available to you. Cool, yeah? That's really cool, especially when you're in a hurry. I think this will work out good for a CES. Now, I don't know if I'm a little scared about uploading high def. bandwidth is bad enough, but it might be well worth the time if we're over at the blog house and have that big fat pipe over there to push the... Because, you know, all of our clips are pretty small, but small in relative terms and high def is not that small megabyte size. But if they're going to do all the crunching and conversion and all that stuff, I think we'll just send it to them. I've got to laugh, too, that Michael Arrington, he's all upset. The reason? Facebook has smuggled away one of his key people. So not only is Google losing employees, companies like TechCrunch are losing people as well. So, you know, if you're looking for a job, Facebook apparently is hiring. I guess you have to breathe and have some talent. But... you know, Arrington's like, if you got any dirt, send it to me. They're like, come on. It's business, right? If you're going to, you know, obviously, you never advertise that you're looking for a new job, right? You never, ever advertise that. But if you, once you do get a new job, you know, you respectfully put in your notice and, you know, you go. And business is business. That's how it works. You know, or the guy could have, you know, competed and, you know, tried to get more salary. But, this guy's going on to stock options with Facebook, and TechCrunch is now saying, okay, if anyone has a lead on highly negative Facebook stories, send it our way. Unfounded rumors and pure speculation are required. So here he's willing to go out and trash this guy. Got beat at his own game. Tough, Mike. That's business, baby. That's business. Get a grip. All right, Microsoft is writing 7 patches for Tuesday. So there's going to be 7 security patches. 3 of them are critical. So make sure you're ready for patch Tuesday. Oh, space shuttle. Wow. Troubles on the pad. Lannis's launch date's been pushed back to Saturday. I mean, this really blows. It's going to go down at 3:43 Eastern. And if they launch on Saturday, we're not going to have anybody at the round table. All the geeks are going to be watching the shuttle launch. Probably me included. So I'll have the TV on at the same time preparing to do this Christmas special. But 3:43 Eastern is the launch schedule for Saturday. And if they get we'll know tomorrow if they get the sensors fixed. So we'll just keep you advised on that. And, of course, you can check NASA.gov. Google's released a new product today called Google Charts. If you're looking for some charts for your website, they've made it pretty simple to create a chart that you can embed on your website. My whole point is you're going to have a chart. Why don't you just create it in Excel or you know, any other product and just do a screen capture and drop it on? Why do you need this? I really don't know. But it'll build a chart by providing they've got an API and special designators to tell you how to lay it out so you actually can. It builds one on the fly. I guess that's the best way to say. And it'll probably work out good for some people that are building applications and they want to be able to show some different charts without having to render them themselves. So I guess it could come in handy. Matter of fact, as I'm thinking about this now, Angelo, if you're listening to the show, you need to check this out. This may save you some time, my friend. Okay, this is probably the most scary thing, and I think we know this is coming. But Big Telco wants to ream you with deep packet inspection. Now, I want you to think back a little bit. And this is a beautiful article. It really, really is. It was posted by Robin Harris. And matter of fact, I've added him. He's going to go on my permanent read list for sure. But remember back in the day, we would when AT&T was a monopoly and you wanted a phone, who did you get your phone from? You got it from AT&T. If you wanted you could order any phone as long as it was black. If you put a fax machine on their network. You said that they claimed that it was at risk of crashing their network. Well, here they go again. Their latest abuses supposedly are, and this is being reported by the Wall Street Journal, is that telcos are going to be requiring, are going to be having new gear that allow ISPs to track your internet page usage to provide ads based on the sites you visit. Yes, you heard me right. Ads based upon the based on the sites you visit. So in other words, they're going to put a box in between you and wherever the you're going on the internet. They're going to sniff out what you're doing, and they're going to serve you up ads based upon where you have surfed. I can imagine that would be an enjoyable experience. Your kids sit down, and they go to the Disney Channel, and they play Disney games for a while, and you sit down on the computer 3 minutes later, and you go to a technical site, and all of a sudden you got cartoon ads popping up. Not cool. So these devices can look very, very deep. So there's some privacy concerns here. And, you know, we're going to have to figure out here a way to keep people's privacy at bay. You're not going to be safe doing anything. You know, if this goes in, if people start employing this in a heavy, heavy manner, at the same point, they can redirect traffic that they think are, you know, non-priority traffic, like BitTorrent, like Comcast is doing. So this is not good stuff, folks, here. They're trying to keep their, you know, their vertical curtain, not their vertical curtain, but their walled garden. And you can tell I'm getting punchy. It's getting late here. Okay. For some reason, it must be I've got this machine loaded up. FeedDemon's slow to load stuff right now. And I've already covered that article earlier. Oh, Netflix. Whew. Netflix is in trouble. The little mailers, you know those mailers you get from them, then you get ready to send it back. It gives you a little inner envelope to put them in. Well, I guess it's jamming up the Postal Service's auto readers. And unless Netflix does something in a hurry, like redesign their mailers, the folks at the U.S. Postal Service is going to be charging them an extra 17 cents per DVD if the adjustments aren't made to, because they're saying they're costing the U.S. Postal Service $20 to $30 million a year on this because of this thing blocking the you know, the automated readers. Now, apparently, the customer margin that Netflix has is $1.05, and it could reduce if they had to, you know, have this extra charge, could reduce their margin, a profit down to 35 cents. And it's, so I'm sure Netflix is going to be looking at this very, very close. All right, you want to earn $5,000 for the holidays? Well, a patent attorney is offering $5,000 for the identity of anonymous patent troller tracker. And this is a website called trolltracker.blogspot.com that was one that you should subscribe to if you're, you know, into watching what how people are abusing patents out there. And but this lawyer's run into some problems with these folks, and he's a lawyer for one of these patent troller companies. So he's put out a $5,000 bounty to anyone who can identify the troll tracker. I bet he doesn't get no money. What do you think? All right, you know, Nielsen, how many of you got in a Nielsen mailer before where you listened to the radio and you had to fill out their little mailer? I don't think I'm going to get any from them anymore anytime soon, because the last time they sent me a one of their, it's a little book you get. You open it up and you fill it out. I filled it out all with podcasts. I didn't put a single radio station in. You know, morning 7 to 8, listen to Mike Tech Show. 8 to 8:15, listen to /.review. And I sent that in the last time that we got some. And but they're saying now, hey, Nielsen, you know, they're also working with some podcasting companies right now. I don't really know what they're trying to prove here, but Nielsen decides it can become a copyright cop too. Oh yes, they're going to get into the DRM space. Does that just like smell like they think they're in trouble and they have to reinvent themselves? You know, when are these companies going to figure out that DRM just will never work? You know, we already had to deal with the Audible Magic people, and you know they got stomped on. So now we're going to have Nielsen doing Be the copyright cop? Give me a break. What they should focus on is looking at where media has been consumed in the new media space, make themselves worthwhile. Now, moving on, and this ties into this packet sniffing stuff, the MPAA is saying that they want to make ISPs start doing content filtering. And this ties into that other article I talked about where they were going to be doing some deep packet sniffing. This is where they're going after, folks. You know, they're going after it at the front line on the ISPs. That's where they're going to shut down any peer-to-peer activity and get BitTorrent just completely decimated. Identity theft. Well, you know, we all watch out for it. But I guess there's a couple that are out on the East Coast that really had a great time at the expense of a lot of people. Pretty young couple. They were using a combination of old-fashioned and high-tech burglary techniques by possibly just simply getting the keys to people's condos through some sort of... They haven't fully understood how they've gotten them yet, but they're going in and apparently putting spyware on computers. They were digging through documents, accessing people's homes and, getting the information they would need to do damage. And what kind of caused them to get caught is all these people with identity theft are right around the same area. And they found mail going to a Dropbox at UPS and they got busted. And they're saying that they probably had around $100,000 worth of identity theft last year alone. So pretty scary stuff out there. Okay, the BBC is reporting, and this was all over the net a couple days ago. I'm sure you read it, and I was actually going to write a post about it. But the Facebook founder apologized for the Beacon system and how it was essentially spying on everyone that was using it. And it was a opt-out system only. You were automatically opted in for it. And a lot of people, there was a lot of critical criticism that was put out to Facebook. But, this guy... he's the guy that said, hey, I'm not going to hire anybody older than 24. And he's just basically for a socialist community, he's been silent for a long time. And I think when the pressure got high enough, and I think maybe part of it was, is Robert Scoble scolded him on his blog saying, hey, you need to step up, take responsibility for this, get out from behind your PR mess and, ask the world to forgive you and fix it. And the next day he somewhat did, but I was reading his blog post and it really looked massaged. It didn't look, it looked like the PR folks had their hands on it. It to me, it was like, all right, we made a mistake. We'll fix it. It was just contrite. They weren't, he wasn't being, it didn't feel sincere to me. It didn't read sincere. So he'd have been better to have done a video, put a video up along with a statement. So at least people could have been able to judge him a little better on his sincerity. So I'm sure some of you be happy with his explanation, but I don't know. Facebook has got me more concerned by the day and just by their actions, what they've done with Beacon. All right, there's a 17-year-old who is working on a NASA spaceship. Is that cool or what? A 17-year-old student who helped test a U.S. space agency spacecraft has been asked to address the American Geophysical Union's fall meeting next week. Can you say this kid is smart? Well, not a kid, young adult. And he's finishing high school and going to college at the same time. So, he's taking real simple classes in college like calculus, biology. But he's going to present to all these smart people out there. So what an opportunity. Very, very cool. All right. Well, I am in between yawns here. I don't know if you noticed that one dot 45 seconds ago. I was trying to suppress it. But no voicemail tonight. So surprised. 619-342-7365. But we do have some show comments. Again, I am going to kind of skip some of the commentary I got from some of you on, where you guys have been engaged on, being engaged with our advertisers. I do want to thank Bree for her email. I want to thank Jeff for his, John as well. I got an email from Robert, and he said, Todd, sweet irony, this is from Bong Bong. And it basically, the MPAA has to take down a toolkit due to a GPL violation. So apparently they've got an application out there that is violating a license. So they're gotten smacked down, are going to have to make a change there. Got an email from Michael, and for actually from Mike. He says, hey, after reading all three articles, and this was in reference to the issue with Six Apart buying selling LiveJournal, he goes on to say, after reading all three articles, here are my thoughts, irrelevant as they might be. No one's opinion is irrelevant here, Mike. Don't forget that. He says, the 500 hats blog, while entertaining, wouldn't get a chance to impress me no matter how relevant his research, opinions, or content. If you let your humanity be called into question by spewing vulgarity at every single opportunity, you lose credibility. Don't get me wrong, I can curse like a sailor, no offense, at times, but those times are not when making a blog post, doing a podcast, or otherwise anything in the public or on stage. The Business Week article was a little long-winded and at first seemed to have gobs of content. After finishing it, I noticed that it did have content, but also a whole bunch of opinion and supposition. This isn't exactly a bad thing, but the article takes a relatively simple news story and runs all over the place with it. I'm sure some people like the over the detail and postulation. I grew pretty wary of the article by the end. He said GigaOM was my favorite, gave me the pertinent facts, explained briefly why it happened, and wrapped it up in a concise and effective article, linking to more detailed source information. I think the issue I had with the Business Week, and this is me talking here now, Mike, the issue I had with the Business Week article was that they were just bringing up completely irrelevant stuff. And they were like on this tangent. They went off into left field talking about something else that had absolutely nothing to do with the LiveJournal sale. So thanks for your feedback on that. You can check Mike's website out over at www.newscastlive.com. That's a great domain, Mike. You know that? It really is. Got an email from Greg, and I have to read this one here. Hey, Todd, like a lot of other computer professionals, I'm often amused at how computer systems and their capabilities are portrayed in popular entertainment. I'm all for juicing things up a bit to help move the story along. Just how exciting is to see someone entering in arcane Unix commands? That's true. It'd be pretty boring, right? But he says, however, when the entire premise of a story is so absolutely wrong, the red spot on my forehead from slapping it so hard starts to outright blister. The latest in this legacy of computer-based theme movies with no discernible link to reality is a new movie coming out in January called Untraceable. The premise of the movie is that a serial killer is putting the deaths of his victims on the internet in real time. It's called Untraceable because supposedly his site is untraceable and cannot be found or won't be found until late in the movie, presumably. In the middle of the trailer, you'll see some government suit telling everyone not to go to the website, because the more people visit the site, the faster the victims die. So the government spokesperson gets on the television, tells everyone not to go to the website. Yeah, like advertising it to the whole world is the way to get people not to go to the site. Like, come on, what's all the supposed... And he goes in talking about some elite hacker skills. They can't figure out how to trap DNS tables to intercept all the traffic. Another great line talks about how astonishing it is that the bad guys could get into her wireless network. Yeah, they're so secure. So he can see every keystroke she types. Oh, and the bad guy has the ability to hack into her car's computer system wirelessly, apparently. Then again, this movie is produced by Sony, so maybe they have installed rootkits everywhere, thus allowing the bad guys to do all this dirty stuff. Oh, very funny, Greg. That was the punchline at the end. It was good, but yeah, some of the stuff is, it just makes you go, oh, you roll your eyes, and I agree. Also, let's go back here. I want to say thanks to Guitar Player. Thanks for your comments on the feedback on the advertising stuff. I got an email from Aaron as well on that. I listened to, also Carl sent me some some comments as well, so I appreciate that. And one thing he does say is that I do want to read something that Carl says here. I think this is important, and this shows you how people use technology. He says, Todd, you asked a question on how your show has influenced my purchases. I've listened to your show for many years and consider you to be an upright and honest person. I respect your opinions. Because of this, when you started working with GoDaddy, you moved my one domain to their hosting service and saved money using your codes. Since that time, I have bought many more domains and hosted them at GoDaddy. Could not be happier with the service, and in turn, it just builds on trust I have in your opinions. He says, last month, my wife was in a minor car accident. I hope she's doing better. Let me know how she's doing, please. And needed access to her work computers from home. And because of your working with GoToMeeting, I set up a GoToMyPC account for her work computer, and she was able to perform the tasks needed from home. So, Todd, you have impacted me, impacted my buying several times, and I continue to look forward to the advice you bring our way. From family to yours, wish you a blessed Merry Christmas and a safe New Year. Feel free to use these comments as you see fit. And that's a perfect example right there, Carl. She was able to continue to work at home. And again, I hope she's recovered and doing well. But that's essentially kept the income coming in, right? So another use of the product. You get accident, get laid up, you need to access your computer at work, get GoToMyPC. And you can almost do it with GoToMeeting as well. They're very very close to our products at times, and some of the feature lists. Hey, do want to thank Bree for her sending me the. I get this every year from different people, and Bree, I don't know if you sent it to me last year or not, but it was the link to some photos stored in a Brownie camera that captured some stuff from the attack on Pearl Harbor. So I think I've got is this got the link to this? I put this in last year's show, I believe. Let me look down all the way to the bottom. And these are some impressive pictures here. No link to this. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes. But thanks for the history lesson. And that tower that you see in one of these pictures, my house is right behind that tower, or my old house was. Also got an email from Andrew, and Andrew's going to try to be working with me to get into Showstoppers this year at CS. I appreciate you for that. And he says, also remember taking some trips into the hills overlooking Diamond Head when I studied at U of H, and it was absolutely beautiful, especially at night. Not sure if it's this area, but I remember my time in Hawaii. 4 trips a day, some of the best experiences in my life. And he's got some links for me as well. So. Note the area that I'm on the other side. I'm not Diamond Head side, although I ought to take you guys up to Diamond Head one day and do a Ustream session. I haven't been up there for a while. I need to take the kids up. Got an email from Kurt, and oh my goodness, Kurt, wow, I'm sorry, my friend, but I have to read this. All of you Apple users, strap in. He says, where to begin with Leopard? Oh my goodness, I've had nothing but trouble since the day I installed it. Let me see if I can begin to summarize my experience. I upgraded to Leopard the day after it was released. Since then, I have had a ever-growing list of problems. It got so bad that my 24-inch iMac Intel Core Duo would not even boot. Not even safe mode. Not to install this, nothing. I made an appointment at the Genius Bar in order to resolve the issue. It turns out the operating system was corrupted beyond repair. After a reinstall of Leopard and running the update to 10.5.1, everything was working well again. But that quickly changed. The more I use the machine, the worse it gets, and things are quickly looking as they did before the install. My problems have included programs that freeze and won't quit, which causes reboots to hang. The computer won't reboot most of the time, regardless of programs running. It just hangs, and you have to manually power down. I've had problems with Parallels, as Doug stated. And yes, reboots when running Parallels are always imminent. However, installing Beta 5582 has seemed to help tremendously. I've had a ridiculous amount of problems with AirDisk, disk hooked up via the USB port on the Airport Extreme base. I just rolled the firmware back from version 7.1, rolled back to 7.11 from 7.21. That was what was recommended in many threads. It says Finder freezes, won't relaunch, dock freezes, weird disk errors when repairing permissions, another widespread issue, and on and on and on. I also have an HP ScanJet 5590 document feed scanner that was rendered completely and utterly useless. As Doug touched on, until HP decides to get their butt in gear, I'm sorry, but 60 days after an OS release is not an acceptable time frame to release compatible drivers. Well, they should have all the drivers for current stuff when they release the doggone thing, wouldn't you think? going on here says, that briefly summarizes my experience with Leopard thus far. I'm hoping that they'll roll out 10.52 that fixes these issues, and I hope an airport extreme base station firmware rolls out soon. Rumors are that it's in the works. I would roll back to Tiger, but I have too much invested. I spent $129 on the install disk. I bought a 250 gig WD Passport 2.5 external to use with the Time Machine, and I've completely hooked on some of the new features of Leopard, including Quick Look, the new .pdf options and preview, etc., not to mention the hours it would take me to reinstall software. Leopard definitely was not lacking in cool new features, but it clearly was not ready for release. I'm anxious to hear what others say. Wow. You sound like a Windows user, Kurt. Oh, sound like a Windows Vista user. That's what you sound like. Oh, my goodness. So, it's, you know, if a listener of this show is having issues, there must be thousands out there that are having problems. I got an email from Jim. Hey, Todd, thought this was cool, and he's got a link to it, and I haven't even looked. What did you send me, Jim? Well, Jim, by the way, where do you live? I saw you Twitter. You might want to come out to CES. Oh, Sea Lights Bendable Durable. Very cool. Oh, this is interesting. You guys got to check this out. I have a link up in the show notes to this. It's, yeah, good one. Good one, my friend. Last one. I'll provide this for an entertainment value. You guys want to see surfing in Maui? Street surfing? Okay, that's it, folks. Wow, what was that? You guys hear? Had the headset cut off for a second. That was odd. Anyway, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 for any comments that you may have on the show. Hey, come out to the roundtable. We're having it on Saturday, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 Eastern. And we have some good stuff for you. Should be a good presentation and fun by all. And that's it. Hey, we're a little ahead of schedule tonight. Isn't that good? So everyone take care. Have a very safe weekend. Happy holidays to everyone. And enjoy your Christmas parties, which I'm sure you're all ramping up to go to. Drive safe. Watch out for all the drunks on the road. And until next time, aloha.